And now, Merle is going to bring the word. And listen, it's going to be harder for him not to give you all hugs next week than for anybody. So please don't cause a brother to stumble. Don't tempt him. Stay 6 feet away. He's going to have a hard time. Bless you. This is going to be a good word.
Wash your hands, no problem. Wear a mask. I can do that. 6 feet. Yeah. Come, Lord Jesus. I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. And now you know the reason I don't sing on the worship team. So, those lyrics that we sang at the beginning were obviously sung in faith, right? We do so much of our life in faith. We believe in God in faith. We read His Word in faith. We pray in faith. We ask God to heal people we love in faith. And we clearly were singing those lyrics that say we saw Satan falling and we saw darkness running for cover. Because what I've really seen over the last few weeks in particular is I saw Satan destroying lives. And I saw Satan dividing our country further in racism. And I saw Satan threatening people's livelihoods because their businesses are shut down or destroyed. So in faith, I'm looking forward to God taking these tragedies and flipping them on our enemy Satan and drawing people in massive numbers into the kingdom of light. 2 weeks ago, I gave a message about how God was teaching me things through the few months of this COVID lockdown. I had 5 points. They're pretty good. You can go listen to it if you like. Today, I want to continue that theme of things that God is teaching me. I've titled this one, Things I'm Learning. And this time, the context for what God is teaching and what I'm learning is this incredible violence, this racism that has been highlighted most recently by the death of George Floyd. So I want to offer our church family 3 ways to respond to the problem of racism in our nation. I would like us to wake up, I'd like us to listen up, and I'd like us to stand up. So let's look at that together. The two crises we've been under siege in, I think, are much like a hurricane that just keeps pounding on everyone and doesn't let up. Rev, a pastor friend here in the area, he's referred to it as a pandemic and pandemonium. Let's not be unaware, church. There are spiritual forces of darkness trying to destroy people through this pandemic and through racial division. Here's what the word says. Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. That's from 1 Peter 5. Also in John 10, our enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life, rich, abundant, fulfilling life. So I want to turn to some more of God's word right now and discover what it means to wake up, listen up, and stand up. And so I'm going to read a portion of Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to read it from the Passage Translation. You can just listen. You can follow along in your own Bible. I'm going to jump around a little bit. It says in verse 1, chapter 15, then the Pharisees and religious scholars came from Jerusalem and approached Jesus with this question. Why do your disciples ignore the traditions of our elders? For example, they don't ceremonially wash their hands before they eat bread. I'm going to skip down to verse 10. Jesus turns to the crowd and he says, come, listen, and open your heart to understand. What truly contaminates a person is not what he puts into his mouth, but what comes out of his mouth. That's what makes people defiled. Then his disciples approached him and he said, don't you know that what you just said offended the Pharisees? Jesus replied, "Every plant that the Heavenly Father didn't plant is destined to be uprooted. Stay away from them." Stay away from the Pharisees, not the plant. "Stay away from them, for they're nothing more than blind guides. Do you know what happens when a blind man pretends to guide another blind man? They both stumble into a ditch." Peter spoke up and said, "Will you explain to us what you mean by your parable?" And Jesus said, "Even after all that I've taught you, you still remain clueless? Is it hard to understand that whatever you eat enters the stomach only to pass out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth reveals the core of your heart." What comes out of your mouth reveals the core of your heart. Words can pollute, not food. You will find living within an impure heart evil ideas, murderous thoughts, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, lies, and slander. That's what pollutes a person, Jesus said. Eating with unwashed hands doesn't defile anyone. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this portion of Matthew's gospel. Thank you for what Jesus was teaching his followers, his disciples. Lord, let your truth, let your word, let it teach us today. Let it change our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, with incredible loving conviction, I felt God speak to me in this passage last week. I've read it so many times before, but it pretty much jumped at me this time. God spoke fresh, he spoke prophetically, and he spoke truth that brought correction to me in my heart. I felt like he was saying, it's our heart that's the problem. It's my heart that's the problem. Yeah, COVID-19 and all of these recent tragic events, this violence, it's revealing the core of many hearts all around our nation. Yes, we have a pandemic and we have pandemonium, but at a deeper level, we have a heart problem. And these crazy times that we're living in are revealing the brokenness and the darkness of our hearts. It's our hearts, church. Wake up. I want this message to be for everybody. So if you're a guest or wherever you're listening from, thank you for joining us. But right now, I'm thinking of this as a family meeting. So I'm going to imagine Sue and our four kids sitting in the living room, and we've had a few of those family meetings, and most of them were sober. We got a problem in our nation, in our community, in our hearts. You know, three summers ago, after the Charlottesville riot, I really felt like we had hit the bottom of this racial problem in our nation. But sadly, it seems it goes much deeper and broader than even that. Wake up. Wake up. The barrier that the people were missing God's heart over in this passage from Matthew 15 was a religious practice that they felt really strongly about. Deeply spiritual, incredibly intelligent and knowledgeable leaders were functionally asleep. They were oblivious and blind to the real problem. And they were trying to lead others blindly into their ditch, into their agenda, into their campaign, what they felt so strongly about. And it's so easy for us to see when people are missing the plot and when they've got blind spots. Thank God again for Peter, the disciple who always asks the question we would ask if we were brave enough. Peter says, "Can you please explain this to us, Jesus?" And Jesus says, "Are you still clueless?" And yeah, I am, too many times. So for weeks, I've been caught up in this plot, in the saturation of topics we all know: infection rates, tests, death rates, distancing, washing, masks, phased openings. Why not open earlier? Why all these restrictions? Why are we opening so quickly? Just unending dialogue. And it really has been important to many of us, but hasn't it been exhausting and draining? And let me paraphrase what I believe Jesus was speaking to my heart. He's saying, wake up, get your focus on what really matters. I love people, Jesus says. I love redeeming people. I love reconciling people. Our problem isn't performing proper rituals. Our problem isn't even a virus that is spanning the world. Our problem is evil darkness that comes out of our fallen, sinful hearts. I believe Jesus is saying, I want to heal your heart from the inside out. That alone will cure racism that is spilling out. Wake up, church. It's the heart. Then listen up. Listen to what people are saying for sure. You're doing me the honor of listening to what I'm sharing. Thanks so much. Listen to Black people's stories. Be curious, ask questions. That's a shout out to Nikki Lerner, this amazing Black worship leader and woman of God who preaches truth. She's like on fire with the truth. And I sent an email to the Grace Church family. There's a link there to some of her material. She spoke at our conference last fall and knocked my socks off. It's worth a re-listen. Listen to people's story who've experienced prejudice and bigotry. As I was getting to know Michael King, Coach King to many of us, I asked him, what's it like being a Black man married to a white woman in Harrisonburg, Virginia? Where are you accepted and where are you rejected? I've learned a lot from him. Thanks, Coach. As I was getting to know Pepe Rojas, our Grace en Español associate pastor, I asked him when he's encountered barriers from people, where he was living in Colorado for 10 years, and then when he moved to the Valley, I would ask him, where are you encountering barriers and rejection? And he's told me, and then I asked him one time, where are you encountering it in our church and even on the staff? And then I think one day we were meeting and I got particularly brave and I asked him, I said, where have I offended you and treated you as inferior? As we develop relationships with others, think about asking questions like this. Is my conversation ever disrespectful or dishonoring to you? Or does my social media content ever offend you in any way? Take initiative. Listen up, church. You know, there's over 25,000 people who aren't white in this community. Let's find some people and ask them their story. On a Zoom call with community pastors earlier this week, Art Dean, a Black pastor of Word Ministries, gave me this really practical suggestion. He said, hey, we're all in town shopping, getting gas, getting our car fixed, buying food, going to the gym. Some of us are going to the salon once or twice a month for haircuts. Some of us. Why don't we make an intentional effort to find people of color, to find minority business owners who are offering services that we need, and why don't we intentionally patronize their business, use their services, and make a relationship? Again, shout out to Pepe. As I got to know Pepe, he would take me to his favorite restaurant, Vietopia. Who knew a Chilean American would have Vietnamese food as his favorite? And as we would go there, he would have a conversation with the business owners of that fine restaurant every time. He has a relationship with those people. Let's listen to others, church. And let's listen to God's word. Let's listen to God's word in our devotions, in our personal study. Here's some gems of truth from God's word. James 2, if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. That's James for you. Pow, pow. Acts 10:34 talks about Peter's journey. Peter says, I see very clearly now that God shows no favoritism. Peter preferred Jews over Gentiles, and now God's dealing with that. In every nation, Peter says, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. We need to read God's word more, church. We must listen to the truth and wisdom that comes from his word. We need to listen up to his word more than we listen to media outlets. We need to listen up to his word more than we view edgy influencers in sports and entertainment. We need to listen up to his word more than whoever else you look to for answers. If we will listen to his word, then the Holy Spirit will open our eyes, he will open our ears, minds, and hearts to the truth, and he will transform us. He alone can change a broken heart, a dark heart. Only God can change hearts. And as we take in the truth of his word, as we open our hearts to that truth, he will give us his heart for all people, for all nations, for all cultures, all, no exceptions. It was in reading my daily devotions that God woke me up and broke through the haze of all the turmoil to see what really matters. It's our hearts, church, that must be transformed. It's the darkness in our hearts that must be exposed and healed. I believe that as we acknowledge and repent of evil attitudes that he shows us in our hearts, that we will break the cycle of hatred and racism in our life, in our communities, and in our nation. One heart at a time. Listen up. Wake up. Listen up, church. And thirdly, our response would be to stand up. Honestly, this is the one I struggle the most with. I've got a lot of growing still to do in this area. Back in January, I gave a message, January 12th, on our value for impartiality called No Favorites. You can listen to that. It's on the web. It's in the email link I sent out yesterday. In that message, I committed to speaking out more. Help me, Lord. I have a double meaning here that I hope you remember after today. Stand up, I certainly mean stand up for others. Speak out on behalf of others. We stand up and speak out for those who don't have a voice, those who are marginalized, black people, brown people, immigrants, the unborn, orphans. So we speak out for those, for sure. And as referenced in the start of this message, humanity has a common enemy, and it's Satan, and it isn't one another. Every time we see humanity fighting and warring against one another, it is Satan at work in people. When we fight each other, when we hate each other, when we take one another's life, when we withdraw from one another, when we build up high towers and walls to protect ourselves, we are playing into Satan's trap. When we stand up for one another, when we walk in God's redemptive purposes, we walk according to the will and purpose that he created us for. We were all created in God's image, and we are all created to be children of God, all of us, no exceptions. And once we become children of God, we have all kinds of promises and privileges and responsibilities, and I want to highlight two right now. One of our privileges is to be ambassador of God to others. We are agents of reconciliation. This is how 2 Corinthians 5 says it. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun, and all of this is a gift of God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak to Christ. We speak for Christ when we speak. Come back to God. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are reconciling people to God. We're no longer agents of darkness. We are agents. We are heroes. We are ambassadors of life and reconciliation. We have a new life. We have a new role. We are reconciled to be reconcilers. And the second privilege I want us to see is described really well in Ephesians chapter 6. This is the Apostle Paul. He is telling us, be strong, stand up, be warriors who attack, who war against evil. So here's how it reads. This is Ephesians 6 in the Passage Translation. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Put on God's complete armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up your shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Stand up in the full armor of God, church. Stand up and pray against the evil one. That is our weapon, not people. We don't fight one another. We fight our common enemy. Stand up, not in our meager power and strength. We stand in the supernatural power of our resurrected Savior, Jesus. No fighting with fists and guns and knives. Stand up in the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Our enemy is Satan. Our armor and supernatural powers are God's truth, God's word, God-given salvation, God-given faith, God-given righteousness, the good news of reconciliation with God and one another, and prayer. What an amazing armor and ammunition we've been given. I exhort you, church, stand up for others and stand up with God's armor on and pray. So wake up. It's our hearts, it's people that matter. Listen up, listen to others. Listen to God through his word, through his Holy Spirit's voice. And stand up for others. Stand up for others who don't have a voice and stand up in the armor of God and wage war in prayer against our enemy, Satan. So I want us to have communion together. I hope maybe even just the visual reminded you to go look for some bread and juice earlier on. If you don't have any, please run get something to use as elements. It's our pattern at the beginning of every month to share communion, the Lord's table. I hope this will be a meaningful moment for all of us as church family. I believe communion is especially powerful when we contrast it with the problems and injustice and racism in our communities. I want to read some powerful truth from God's word, this time from Ephesians 2, as preparation to receive the bread and the juice as elements that represent the body and blood of Jesus sacrificed for our sin. Here's Ephesians 2, the Passage Translation, starting in verse 13. Yet look at you now, everything is new. Although you were once distant and far away from God, now you have been brought near delightfully close to Him through the sacred blood of Jesus. You have actually been united to Christ. Our reconciling peace is Jesus. He has made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ by dying as our sacrifice. He has broken down every wall of prejudice that separated us and now has made us equal through union with Christ. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of His precious body on the cross. The legal code that stood condemning every one of us now has been repealed by His command. His triune essence has made peace between us, starting over, forming one new race of humanity. Jews and non-Jews fused together. And I would add, poor and rich fused together. Slave and free fused together. Black and non-black fused together. Brown and non-brown fused together. Weak and strong fused together. Two have now become one, and we live restored to God and reconciled in the body of Christ through His crucifixion. Hatred died. We are united by the body and the blood of Jesus at His crucifixion. His death defeated prejudice. His death killed hatred. His death destroyed the wall of hostility that Satan built between groups of people. Jesus has defeated the work of the enemy totally. It is finished. It's incredible good news. I want to share another verse from Ephesians 2. Verse 2, you once lived in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead in our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. I invite us all to embrace the new life of Christ in the completed work of Jesus on the cross as we take this bread and we take this juice. So I invite you to take the bread, break off a piece. Let's pray together. Lord, bless these elements. Lord, thank You for removing every barrier between us and You, and thank You for removing every barrier between one another. And Lord, as we take this bread, I believe it's a prophetic expression of the unity that defeats the evil spirit of racism in our hearts and in this land. Change us as we take Your body and Your bread in the bread and juice now. Go ahead and eat. As you finish sharing the bread and the juice with one another in your homes or in small groups, I want to pray a blessing over you and conclude. You can just bow your head, close your eyes. I invite you to open your hands up in your lap if you want, as an expression of receiving. I bless you with grace, so you will overflow with God's love and kindness. I bless you to model repentance and forgiveness, just like Catherine modeled it for us in the opening prayer. I bless you to be ambassadors of reconciliation, carriers of God's good news. I bless you with favor to meet and to connect meaningfully with someone who speaks a different language than you. I bless you with favor to befriend someone who has a different skin color than you. I bless you with initiative and courage to reach out to someone who thinks totally different than you do and ask respectful questions. I bless you with the power of the Holy Spirit to do battle against the enemy in prayer. I bless you with favor that overflows. I bless you and ask the Lord to keep you May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. I pray these blessings over you in the name of our powerful, risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love you, church. I bless you. Can't wait to see you next week. Stay on